This is the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club TipsNet for April 29th.
Six Papa Delta Golf, Kevin in Norwich. Haven't thought of any questions yet.
Here is Whiskey One. 1, Foxtrot, Juliet, Whiskey, Chuck, and Groton. No questions. Good evening.
This is K1DCT. I have two questions. I'll do one this round. I'll save one. The first is, at one point there was some proposals for new amateur licenses, something below the technician license. I haven't been following this, so I'm wondering if someone has, and I forgot what they were even called. So I wonder if anybody's followed that, if it's gone anywhere. Just curiosity. So with that, I'll turn it back to Ned. And Steve, great signal tonight. That tower is working out for you. K1DCT.
K1V. Yeah, thank you, Dave. I was watching that before all this stuff has happened. I was kind of monitoring that situation. I'm kind of on the fence. I know that there was something about some sort of operator's license, where it was just the knowledge was based, which is important on, you know, operating rules and such like that. And in some cases, there is a benefit. Someone like, for instance, my elderly mother, who doesn't care about repairs and diodes and Ohm's Law and stuff like that, but would need definitely to know how to properly, the laws and rules and stuff. But then on the other side of my fence is, I worked really hard to get this license. I had to understand and know a lot to do this. So I don't know. I don't know where it's gone. I think everything is kind of at an idle at the moment. But we'll move on to Tim, KC1TWR, and see if he has any comment on that.
This is KC1TWR, and I do remember something about that, but I also remember that at one point they were also talking about opening up the technician class a little bit more as far as which bands they can operate which bands they can operate on and what frequencies bandwidth they'd be able to use. So I know that, but I think that was separate. So as far as I think they were trying to make it easier to get people on the air to start with, and then assuming that once they're on the air, then the real learning and what have you, if they want to advance and get more privileges, would come into play. I did a cursory search on the interweb, which I'm sure Dave's already done, and it's very hard to find anything like that because it keeps pointing me towards new amateur radio classes. So I don't know, and I'll save my item for the next go-round or two. Back to net control, KC1TWR.
Okay, thanks, Tim, and K1B. I'm laughing at myself here because I chose tonight for some strange reason to torture myself and use the the logging, the net logging thing that's in my regular software. It's bringing up everybody's real name, and it appears that in this group that very few of us actually use our actual given name. So I'm a few changes here. So anyways, KA6 PDG, do you have any comment on the license issue or anything else, or using electronic logs?
All right, thanks, Steve. Nice net control signal and nice net control operation. Good to hear you. Let's see here on the license question. Yeah, I remember hearing something about it a slew of years ago and have not followed it. I think there's a number of ways one could look at it, and we all have a tendency to say, well, I had to work hard. So folks coming up through the ranks should have to work just as hard. And I would not even say that that's an unfair statement. I don't have any problem with that statement. It's just a matter of looking at things from all angles. I mean, I tend to sit on that seat as well. I mean, I think that having some tertiary knowledge of the technical stuff and being someone for whom that's usually fairly difficult, I still think that it's good to have, but I can understand the position of, I think you mentioned an older relative or something, Steve. So there's all different ways to look at any question. Let me reset. I can't speak a lot on logging software. I've never used it. I know what it is. I've been at field day locations where it's used. I know that the North American Kilowatt Club uses it a lot. The only thing I can say is any software that tries to think for me and pretend that it's smarter than I am tends to be more of a pain in the butt than it's sometimes worth. There are a lot of people who don't use their first names, for example, and I'm sure there's other examples of some of the drawbacks to it. But then again, it has, just like the other question, it has its upsides. So there, I just spent 2 minutes saying absolutely nothing. Isn't that cool? KA6PDG, back to net.
All right, Kevin, thank you. And yeah, it's often very easy for me to find software that's smarter than I am and leave me quite confused. Now off to a gentleman who may or may not use his real name, W1FJW. Chuck, any comment on the licensing issue or anything new, or off to you?
Well, there's a story about the name, but I'm sure you don't hear it on this net. I don't recall the name that was given, but a new class of license was proposed. I'm pretty sure that it died when the FCC said, no, we got enough classes now, and the compromise was they expanded some of the high-frequency privileges for technicians. But that's all I remember about that. Beyond that, I can't help too much. Back to net, W1FJW.
All right, thanks, Chuck. Now we're going to do another call-up for the Tri-City Tips Net. Is there anybody else who'd like to join? Please come with your call sign now.
Here it is. Kilo Zero, Juliet Echo Bravo. Good evening. It's Josh in Groton.
Recognizes Josh, Kilo Zero, JEB, and let me see, let's go to, see, Dave said he might have a second question, so I'll let him take a shot if he has a second question. I know Tim has a comment, but let's see what Dave's second question is, because I got nothing new. So K1DCT, go ahead with your question, or if you have something else new that came to you.
All right, well, this is K1DCT, and I also don't remember what those licenses were called, or whatever it was, I don't know, but I'm sad to see that maybe the technicians may not be expanded, because there's a... When you used to get your technician license back in the olden days, in days of yore, you had CW privileges on many of the HF bands. Of course, CW is not a requirement anymore, which was also a big disappointment to me when they took that away, because like Kevin said, I worked hard to get my 20 words a minute and get my extra, and now you can get one without it. So anyway, without reliving my sordid past, my other question is, prompted by QST, the most recent QST, I think, about tuning up a light bulb. I wonder if anyone's ever tuned up their rig with a light bulb, and I can expound on that on the next round as to why that might have been a thing at one time. Back to net, K1DCT.
Maybe when I wasn't paying attention really enough, that people would use light bulbs for a load, and also you could actually receive, you know, hear off of the, you know, receive and transmit off of a light bulb. But I have no real information on it. It seems like it would work. But let's try Tim, KC1, TWR. Any light bulb comments or anything further?
Isn't that bright? It's rather dim. But I remember seeing the article in QST and glancing through it, but I never did go back to fully read it. It did sound like an intriguing thing, and it was either a club or a group that is now focused on that, if I remember right. I could be wrong. And getting back to the first question, looking at the band plan, I can understand, Dave, the frustration when they took away the Morse code requirement, because even today in the band plan, if the technician has learned Morse code, there is a small portion of 80 meter, 40 meter that they can do Morse code in. And so they would be up on the HF bands as Morse code. But unfortunately, most technicians do not learn, most people don't learn CW. Hopefully it won't be a dying art. I still think it'd be great for the kids to learn Morse code, because then they could send messages back and forth in a classroom without the teacher being wise to what was going on. But that's another story. In the talking about QST magazines and articles, I got an email from ARRL, I think it was the contest email today. One of the things it talked about was in, I don't get this right if I go find the right article here, but there was a, I'll have to go back and find it. I think it was in Warsaw, Poland, had posted a video of a antenna that looked to be maybe 2 meter or something of that nature on top of an office building getting vaporized by lightning. That was something. Back to network control, KC1TWR.
Thanks, Tim. I bet it would be really unfortunate situation if two kids were trying to send secret messages by tapping Morse code, and the teacher happened to be an unknown amateur radio operator that could tap 20 or 30 words a minute. KA6, PDG, any comments on the ongoing license question or on the light bulb thing or QST in general?
Well, I think on the license thing, no. By the way, I thought I'd mention tonight's net is being recorded in the stereo. Just thought everybody should know that. I grabbed a different recorder. It'll come out just fine. It's just when I'm yapping, it'll be on the other side. Way on the other side. Anyway, nothing more on the licensing that I can think of. The light bulb thing sounds like it could be fun. I remember back in the 11-meter days, some of the guys liked to light up various types of light bulbs with their 11-meter signal. CW, you know, it's almost gotten to that way that if you want, as a ham, you want to go have an on-air CUSA with somebody and you don't want any of the other hams to know what you're talking about, go to CW. Of course, if you're in the CW portion of the band, that's where people who know CW hang out. So I guess that wouldn't work out too well. And vaporized antennas. No, thank you. I'll pass. KA6PDG, back to net.
Okay, Kevin, so none of that made perfect sense, and I'm really glad you'll be on the other side tonight. Hi. Chuck, W1FJW, any comments on the tuning with the light bulb or the licensing or anything new?
Well, I did some quick calculations and found out that, a 50-ohm light bulb at 120 volts would be 288-watt light bulb, to properly load a machine, although a 200-watt light bulb would be close. It'd be around 70 ohms. It'll dissipate some RF energy unless it's shielded, but it'll probably dissipate more heat. And in terms of stuff being vaporized by lightning, there's different types and kinds of lightning, but the average lightning bolt's about tens of thousands of amps. But then you get what they call super bolts that are hundreds of thousands of amps. So that must have been one of the super bolts that found that one. Back to net, W1FJW.
Thanks, Chuck. You're making me nervous having a new tower up about talking about super bolts. Josh, K0JEV, we were talking earlier. Dave had mentioned that there was talk of a beginner class of licensing, possibly below the tech, possibly not. If you had any comments on that or anything else you've heard or something new, it's all yours.
So K0JB. Well, when I was a technician, I fiddled around with the Morse code thing. I never did learn it all. I managed to make contacts on HF on CW using a computer interface program to decode the messages and to send them out. And as frustrating and exciting as that was, it's not one of the things that I will say that I enjoyed. About the white bulb thing, there's quite a few hams out there that have experimented with using a reproduction Edison white bulb, and there's actually some articles online about people that have made FT8 contacts on 20 and 40 meters using a light bulb and getting a contact distance of about 1,000 miles. The problem seems to be is the last couple feet of the coax tends to radiate a lot of the energy. And for what Dave was getting at with a tune-up light bulb, I think it's got something to do with as the light bulb heats up, the resistance value increases and brings the ohm reading down low enough for the tuner to be able to actually tune it and make the radio work. But that's just me. I don't know. maybe he'll, I'm sure he's going to give us the inside scoop on that one. Other than that, I don't have anything else for net at this time. So K0JB, back to net.
You seem to have set something off. All right, we're at the bottom of the list. I'm going to do another call. Anybody? This is the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club TipsNet. Is there anybody else who'd like to join? Please come with your call sign now. All right, I guess no takers. We definitely have time for another round. I'll make a few comments. I don't know if Dave has anything. Oh, I know that Tim has something also. I do have my tower up and running. I had the opportunity, thanks to my government-sponsored staycation, to get that done. I figured I would take advantage of that time and make it happen, even though the weather was a little bit off. But everything seems to be up and working, and the concept of having the, I have, as Josh does, I have the IC7100 up on the hill in a secure container with where all my junctions and everything are, and there's a small battery up there just to help with voltage drop. And so I have my VHF, UHF, just a small one at the top of the tower that I'm transmitting on now, but that only has 40 feet of nice coax going down, and then my HF, which I ended up with a window line feed, which is 40 feet, and I was an antenna I had built before and could not get to work. I have that, and then I put in an inverted V instead of messing with all the trees and the buckets and the weights and pulleys. I just ran them out as far as I could and tied them up as high as I could, and I'm actually impressed with what I can do with it and what that my regular LDG auto tuner can do. Pretty much everything except I can't seem to tune 6, and I need to go back at 17, where I seem to usually have trouble, and make sure I'm really getting it tuned in. But everything's good. Let me reset real quick. I did mention to Dave this afternoon, there's one small problem which seems to have gone away now this evening. I think I'm at the actual edge of what Cat 6 cable can do in ICOM's situation, because that's the control head is obviously down here in the shack, and every once in a while the radio would just drop out, it would just shut down, and I put a bunch of ferrites, little clamp-on ones, everywhere I could think would be a good idea to put one, and it seems to not be doing it. I also turned the backlighting down, and I don't use the external speaker, I'm using the internal speaker, because there's the audio load going up and back. But so I think 120 something feet is probably about the most you could ever go with Cat 6 for one of these, and we'll see what happens. I'll keep everybody up to date. So I will send it down to K1DCT. Dave, do you have anything else on any of the situation? Well, you have to get back to us on the whole light bulb thing. Off to you, Dave.
All right, Steve, K1DCT here. Again, great signal, nice job. Cat 6, you should be able to go about 300 feet. But, of course, you got RF going on, so I heard you say you threw some donuts on there, and I'm not talking glazed or jelly-filled, so maybe that cleaned things up. So, let's see, get back to the light bulb. Josh, being the astute individual that he is, picked up on the fact that, yes, the light bulb, we're talking incandescent bulbs, the impedance is not constant. Impedance drops as it heats up, so. But in the olden days, and I only read this in books because I'm not even as old as Kevin, but people used to use regular incandescent bulbs, you know, 100 watt or something, to tune their rigs up, because this is going to be shocking to some of you. Stand by. We're all used to rigs being 50 ohm happy. That was not always the case. Many old transmitters of old were happy at 200 ohms, hence the open wire line that you could build yourself presented pretty much a 200 ohm load. So this, in days of yore, light bulb tuning was not out of the question. So a little history today, just, I don't know, feeling nostalgic maybe. With that, back to net, K1DCT.
Accused last round of not making any sense, so I thought that was a little cruel. I mean, my transmission may not have had any useful value, but it wasn't totally irrational. It may have been close. No, nothing too new. Steve, I wanted to mention I did check you on the input. I know I told you earlier I wanted to do that. And I do not copy on the input. I think I detect something of a signal, but then again, Coventry is some miles away from Norwich. Oh, you guys are making me think of Gordon West, WB6NOA, who actually was my Elmer, and you've read the articles about him loading up a garbage can on HF and transmitting on it. I have actually witnessed him doing that. And standing there while he was doing it next to his vehicle, which had the radio in it. And for Dave, I know what you're trying to say. Let me explain it for the other folks. Dave used to be as old as I am, but then he stopped getting older. KA6PDG.
Yeah, Gordon West, you mentioned him, I would say that he is quite partially responsible. responsible for me ever getting my extra because it was his program that I used, and it was effective considering my time constraints. W1FJW, Chuck, anything further on what's on the table or anything new?
Well, if you're going to use light bulb for 2 meters, I'd use a 15-watt, 18-inch fluorescent tube. As long as you use an isolated supply to keep the mercury vapor arc going or, ionized inside the tube, then that ionized trail becomes the radiating conductor, and that ought to work probably better than about anything else. That's just a thought. Back to net, W1FJW.
NK1V here, net control. I tell you what, Chuck, even if it didn't work, that would be the cool factor, and the questions from the neighbors would be well worth hooking that up outside. Josh, K0JEB, any further comments on what's on the table or anything new?
It's K0JEB. As far as the light bulb thing, I think I'll put that one to rest with fluorescent tube would be a cool idea. I can't imagine it would be a quiet receive signal. even with the light bulb, from what I read online, it was pretty noisy. But I did have a comment about your setup over there in Coventry. I'm wondering if you had looked at remoterig.com and seen that you can actually hook up a network box to the main unit and set up the remote control head anywhere you have internet access. I imagine what's going on is you're having a voltage drop from the main unit to the control head with that long run. I believe it uses 8 volts going out to the control head, I believe. So if you can prevent the voltage from dropping, either with a power injector or something like that, that would probably be the easiest way to fix your little solution thing you were talking about. But that's just me. Other than that, no, I don't have anything. Just glad to be able to check in on a Wednesday night. Took the night off and enjoying the net. NK1B, it's K0JB.
Okay, Josh, there's your identifier again. Yeah, Josh, that's actually a really good idea. I'm going to look into that. That's what it acts like. Like, the control head is just not quite getting enough power. And you're right that it's getting, I could inject that if it's whichever voltage it is. I'll check on the, they give you a nice service manual. It's very in-depth on it. And it'll be very easy to do also because it's just RJ45 Cat6 stuff, and breaking it out and everything would be relatively simple. Huh. Good idea. Thanks, Josh. I'm going to do one more call-up for the Tri-City TipsNet. Is there any other stations who'd like to join? Please come with your call sign now.
Here it is. Whiskey 1, Romeo Papa Queen. Bob and Montel, good evening.
Romeo Papa Queen. Bob, we've gone through a couple rounds. We've talked about tuning with a light bulb. I don't know if you've been listening or not. We've talked about some of the licensing, the lower licensing that may or may not ever come true. A little bit about CW, a little bit about a couple other things. I'm going to check in, see if anybody else, one more round, anything else, but do you have any comment on anything that we've said so far, or anything that you'd like to bring to the table?
This is W1RPQ. That's a negative. I just walked in, turned on the radio, and heard Josh trying to sell you a remote unit for your station there, and he's sounds like he's on a good track. But no, I really don't. Just want to check in and say hello to everybody tonight, and I'll listen here on the side. This is W1RPQ. Back to Nat.
Sorry, Bob. Thanks. Yeah, you missed a good night because we were kind of a little bit rough on Kevin this evening, but he'll get over it. I'm sure he will. Is there anybody else who has any new comments or anything else they'd like to bring up before we go to the second portion of the net? NK1V here with the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club Tips Net. We're going to go to the second section, which is a chance for anybody to make any announcements or any items of interest. If we haven't already mentioned it, please come with call sign.
KC1TWR.
KA6PDG.
And K0JB.
KC1TWR, go ahead.
I just wanted to mention that next Thursday night, not tomorrow night, but next Thursday night, should be the Scrams meeting, and currently the Scrams Club is still trying to determine if they're going to have a meeting, if they're going to do it physically, you know, respecting distances, or if they're going to do it on the air, or how they're going to do it. So stay tuned for information about that, but at this point, it's up in the air whether they're going to have the meeting or not. Back to the control, KC1TWR.
Okay, thank you, Tim. That's good to know. Kevin, K6BDG, it's all yours.
Well, thanks, and just thought to remind Tim, next Wednesday is the first Wednesday of the month, Tim. We'll have to have some sort of fun topic. Reminder about the Saturday morning breakfast roundtable on the Norwich repeater at 8 o'clock. And I probably wouldn't even, because I think everybody knows by now. But for Steve's benefit, now that he's got that whopping signal, you'll have to be on the Norwich repeater at 8 o'clock Saturday morning for the breakfast roundtable. Everybody's welcome. And if for some reason the Norwich repeater isn't feeling well, we'll go to the Waterford machine on 146.97. And final reminder about the New England QSO party this weekend. All the details in QST. And have fun. K6PDG, back to net.
Yes, Kevin, thanks for the reminder on the New England QSO party. I'll try to get in on that and maybe do some double dipping with some parks on the air and we'll have some fun. I think this log is confusing. That'll be real confusing. And yeah, the Norwich repeater, when she's feeling good, I'm interested in what I can hit that with. Probably around a watt or less, because that thing's just booming in here now. Josh, K0JEB, go ahead with your comment.
All right, thanks. It's K0JB. Well, Kevin stole my one item I had about the New England QSO party this coming weekend. But another item that I just wanted to put out there, I'm looking for looking to see if there's any interest in a fox hunt, mobile only, no getting out of the car, no walking anywhere, just a little bit of safe car-to-car fun. I'm getting kind of tired of being at home and There's nothing wrong with going for a friendly drive. So if anyone has any interest in a mobile-only safe fox hunt, please send me an email or contact me after the net and let me know how you feel about it. And I'd like to see if maybe something like that would be possible. Anyway, thanks for running the net tonight, and good to hear everybody. It's K0JB back to net.
Hi, Josh. Thanks. Yeah, that's pretty cool. And fortunately for me, my time off is winding down, and it's not really for a good reason, so I don't really want more of it. But yeah, that would be. There's no harm in that, I would say, at all. Even getting out and standing around, it's also give an opportunity to duct tape a friggin' rotor to my roof of my wife's car. I'm sure she'd appreciate that. Okay, now we're gonna go for the third section of the Tips Net, where if anybody wishes to swap or sell any amateur radio related equipment, please come now with your call sign.
W1RPQ.
KC1TWR.
Go ahead, Bob. W1RPQ.
This is W1RPQ. I got, I think, three items right now. A TYT-2017, which is a DMR handheld unit. Comes with a two sets of batteries, charger, the programming cable, and the mic speaker extension for that. I also have a TYT-MD-9600. They're a mobile unit. And I have a Yaesu FD-2980, which is a 2-meter rig. And that's what I have. W1RPQ. Back to net.
All right, that sounds good. I believe it was Tim, KC1TWR. You got something?
Yes, actually, we have some people, some local folks that are going to be taking their technician and or general, and some taking general exams coming up on in about a week and a half on May 9th. And one of them has already been in contact with me. He's already bought himself a little Bofang HT, and he's looking to buy a 2-meter mobile rig. So, Bob, I may put that person in contact with you. Or if anybody else has one that they're looking to offload, let me know, and I'll make the connection with that person involved. Hopefully he'll pass the test and get his license. Back to Steve and K1V from KC1TWR.
K1V, yep, FT-2980 is a nice mobile rig. I also have, which I took down today, if anybody knows anybody who's interested, it's a homebrew, so a fan dipole that's cut for 80, 40, and 20, and it has an MFJ 1-to-1, I guess it would be a Balun. Connected with it and everything like that. It's down in the basket. I took it down because all my other stuff's working good now, and it was kind of an eyesore where it was. That's available if someone is interested or not. It's a homebrew, and I had it tuned pretty good. I needed to tune it a little bit to clean it up, but it was quite the project. It's quite the monster, but it is there. Let me see. What do we got? I'm going to do one more call up just for the last call. Is there any other stations you wanted to check into the Tri-City Amateur Radio Tips Net? Okay, it's a good thing because I think I'm running out of freaking words. Okay, that was the last call, and if we have no further check-ins, I'm going to close the net at this time. Thanks to all who participated in the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club Tips Net, and thanks to all who stood by as we conducted the net. The Tri-City Amateur Radio Club sponsors this net and has their meeting, sometimes, on the second Tuesday of each month at the American Red Cross at 1031 Route 32 Montville. The meetings start at to all interested persons, licensed or not. Information about the club may be found on www.tricityarc.com. And Josh, if there's something different about the meeting that you want to mention when I'm finished with this, you're welcome to check, you know, to go in. We'd like to thank John, W1AN, for use of this repeater. This net will meet again next Wednesday at 7 p.m. on this frequency. I now return the repeater to regular amateur use. This is NK1B. Good evening on 7-3. And Josh, is there any comment on the meeting?
It's K0JB. I'm kind of at a loss. Am I supposed to have a comment, or I don't know, maybe you could fill me in. What's the question?
K1TWR. Go ahead, Tim. Yeah, I was just reading it and just reading it word for word, and I realized that in the current situation that it may not be accurate information. Go ahead, Tim.
You're absolutely right, and I apologize, Steve. I should have updated that and sent that to you. Yes, just for anyone that's listening, we will not be having the meeting at the Red Cross office. We will be having the meeting on the air on the Salem repeater, the same one we're talking on right now. And that will also be at the same time and date, just the place will not be physical. It will be on the air. Also, Josh, K0JEB, we'll have the Groton Echo link pointed to the Salem repeater so that if you can't reach the Salem repeater, you can still connect via K0JEB-R Echo link node. During that meeting, you'll have it pointed to the Salem repeater. And also, just a quick plug for the Wellness Net. It takes place at 1 p.m. or 1300 of your Navy every day on this same repeater. Back to the control, KC1TWR.
Okay, NK1B here. Thank you, Josh, and thank you, Tim. And that's going to wrap it up for the Tri-City Radio Amateur Club Tipsnet. Good evening, all, and 7-3.